He is emotion. Poetry is he-motion. Poetry is her-motion. Poetry is hurt-motion. Poetry is heart-motion. Poetry as a notion.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stephen Pitters, and welcome to the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Folks, you know who you are and you know who I am, so you know it is time for you to reset and enjoy some poetry, prose, and at times music here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. This is Thin Air Community Radio, and we are on the stream at www.kyrs.org, where the young, the old, and the in-between gather to share their thoughts, feelings, and emotions. My special guest today is the poet and prose writer, Beth Camp. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be here.
All right. The mission of the Spokane Open Poetry Program is to make available to poets and others the opportunity to share their literary works and musical skills. But Beth, guess what? It's time for the Thank You Minute. So is there anyone that you would like to say hello to?
Yes, I would. Alan is out there, hopefully listening. My husband is at the heart of all that I do, but I'd like to also do a quick shout out to all those Spokane authors, which is a local group. We can meet right here in Spokane, and they are wonderful.
All right. More to go with that particular piece of information. I'd like to do a shout out to my friend Mike and John and Susan. All right. Those things haven't been said. I would like to start us off. I'm going to read a poem, and then I will turn this over to you. Okay. The particular piece I am about to read is called Sirion. The seed is the truest pilgrim. Its roots spreads outward, tasting the rich nutrients beneath the uncharted soil. These precious contributions are like the three wise men who voyaged from afar to bring their treasures to the one who filled the world's consciousness with form and substance. Akin is she, whose star, instructed by her soul, is in her bona fide nature about to be realized. As her body physically develops, the mind in tune discovers the intricacies of itself, composes its own orchestrated magic in lightning flashes, which transcends into a crescendo of mystical purpose. The richness in her energies offsets any injunction which contrives to prevent or intercept her natural course. Protected, their oxygen were the breath infusing the slender sapling bud with tender devotion in the presence of supportive sunlight and radiating smiles. Her body and exquisite mind had advanced and expanded to share with the world the hope that inspires. Her contact with others immediately betters them with her insight. They desire to call her friend and to her extend their hearts to mend. Sirion and I had years of accompaniment which lifted us into glorious flight until her tour within the celestial gate she had to take, which is never too late nor too early to achieve that fate. Saying goodbye to my heart, it speaks the right thing to do. If you are just tuning in, this is the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Now it's time for all you wonderful people out there to sit back and listen to the poetry and prose from Beth Camp. Beth, now your show.
Well, if it's my show, first thing I'm going to say is thank you, Stephen. That was lovely. And I hope that my poetry is as pleasing to your ears.
All right.
I'm going to start with a poem called If I Had a Wish. If I had a wish, I could be a bear, outside all tooth and claw, furious, brown, inside a down comforter hand sewn, fluffy and warm, tucked in on myself for the long winter to come. Elephants are equally appealing, sturdy, calm, that golden eye reflective around of grasses, water, and rolling in warm mud baths to cool the summer sun, perhaps leaning into the one you love. Those tusks tell of something different, though. Night rages, screaming battles. No, not an elephant. How about a violin? Strings awaiting for the bow. The music fills the air and ear. Notes streaming harmonious, each leading to the next and then set aside to reside in memory. Ah, now I've found my home. Words on a page, words on your lips, complete.
Now the question is, what inspired that particular piece?
Well, I really don't write poetry often. It's always in between. Mm-hmm. It's in between other commitments, and it's in between what I call my real writing, which is historical fiction.
All right.
And so I write every day. I get up at the crack of dawn, like 5:30, and I hit the keyboard, and I work for a couple hours before everyone else is awake. Uh-huh. But, you know, writers are funny. External challenges help us to explore areas that are not easily accessible every day. Mm-hmm. So sometimes a poem will come spotting along and I'll put it down and put it away. This poem is in my next collection. Mm-hmm. I have about 90 pages so far, and it may come out next year. Mm-hmm. But what I mostly do is work on historical fiction, mm-hmm. and that means immersing myself into a different time and place. And it really goes back to, what do writers write? Why do they write? What drives us? And usually, or I've heard it said, that like the sound of a bell, there's one note that kind of underscores everything we write. And this is kind of coming out of my childhood, the struggle for survival, the need to be stubborn, led me to take this class in college called The Economic History of Great Britain. Now,
okay.
You never know when inspiration will strike.
That is true.
Because this is a weird class. In fact, I was the only woman in class of 70 men. But anyway, that's another long story. Anyway, The Economic History of Great Britain dealt with the impact of the Industrial Revolution on the average life of the person in the 1800s, 1820 through about 1860. And somehow I got stuck in that era.
Mm-hmm.
So my two books are begin in Scotland and the impact of the Industrial Revolution. And it kind of started there when Lord Gordon arrives in a remote island in northern Scotland and proceeds to evict traditional farmers to make room for sheep, as if humans could be replaced by
mm-hmm.
sheep. So in 10 years, I've written three books.
Uh-huh.
Usually a book takes me about 3 years to research, write, and then, as they say, revise.
100 visions and revisions.
Yes. So the first book introduces the family, the McDonald family, and naturally there are protests and great drama ensues. Mm-hmm. Book two, that's set in northern Scotland. Book two, Mac McDonald, the head of the household, is sent to over the seas to a penal colony in what is now Australia.
Of course.
But Van Diemen's Land then.
The Pomies.
Yes, yes. And then book three, which I'm just finishing up right now, is about Catriona, who also no longer had a home. So she disguises herself as a boy and joins the Hudson's Bay Company and ends up in the wilds of Canada.
Of course.
And crosses the continent to find her true love. Okay.
That sounds good. I've seen movies that look just exactly what you're writing about.
Based on real history, it actually happened. But didn't end up quite the way in my story. Okay. That's about my writing. Mm. Would you like to hear a story?
I would indeed.
Well, then I'm going to ask you to jump totally sideways, because my first creative writing class taken just before I retired said no violence, and I wasn't ready to write history yet. Mm-hmm. So I sat there and said, well, there goes the serial murderer killer idea I had, darn. And I said, what am I going to write about? I might as well write about mermaids. So okay. My story that I'm going to read today.
It's about mermaids.
Is called The Last Mermaid.
Okay.
So here it is. The Last Mermaid. I came down from the mountains after my mother and father died and found work here at the Blue Dog Saloon. At first, I washed dishes and sheets in the back. After a while, Jim brought me out front. Now I pour drinks and talk to the cowboys who pass through. Sometimes I sing, but not often. Jim said my songs aren't good for business, but he likes me to tell stories and work the bar. Maria and Rosie go upstairs on Saturday nights. Jim said that's for when I'm older, and only if I want. I haven't decided yet. I still miss my mother. I see myself sometimes in the mirror behind the bar, and it's like she's with me. She had sea green eyes, rather like mine, and long white hair. She said everything changed when she met my father. It happened like this. Long ago, the mountains rose up and the sea dried out. She didn't know why her people left her behind. She stayed by the last bit of water there, a small lake of her own. She could talk to birds in their own tongue. Mountain bluebirds, chickadees, ravens, even the occasional eagle would drop out of the sky to keep her company. Then she found my father at the bottom of a ravine. He was all broke up and half dead. It didn't matter to my mother. She took care of him when he was crazy with fever and swore nonstop. She pulled him into a cave near the lake and treated him with herbs that she knew. When he woke up weak and shaky, the fever gone, she fed him little fishes. He always said someone had pushed him. After a time, he didn't talk about that anymore. He taught her to speak English and to read from the one book he carried, the Bible. One night, under a cloudless sky, they married each other, and later I came along. My father couldn't walk very well, but he could swim just fine. He always said he was living in paradise. Sometimes he gets sad, and my mother and I, we knew he was missing his life down here. But now that I've been in this town he used to talk about, I'm not sure why he missed it so much. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting for a cowboy to come in the door of the Blue Dog Saloon one day. He's going to say a name, my father told me, and I'll know what to do. Jim says I tell the strangest stories. I don't know. See this turquoise? My father shaped it into a heart. After he died, my mother gave it to me. She said it came from the sea long ago. At night, I go to sleep holding this stone heart and remembering my father and my mother. He was a cowboy, and she was the last mermaid.
Woo, that's a beautiful
story.
I mean, you see a Western, you know, just kind of unfold. And I was watching, you know, one of those really neat old Westerns. Well, not old, but Westerns with Robert Duvall and Kevin Costner, you know, that really speaks, you know, have, you know, relationships, you know, people, instead of just a shoot 'em up, bang, bang. I mean, that wasn't there. But it's just the individuals, how they came to be in a certain way at a certain point. So you really focus on the person, not the, you know, overall action on the sideline. That's almost like the sidelines, but it's like people trying to get to know each other themselves and you know, falling in love, you know, or, you know, it's just like, it's so real. And this that's that same feeling. I mean, you know, you could probably make that into a movie, right? A screenplay for something like that. I mean,
well,
it's
actually,
great.
Actually, my grandfather was a cowboy, and I grew up hearing his stories. And So that's part of what makes me who I am and what I write about.
Now, when you say, did you grow up around here in Spokane?
I was born in Hollywood. And we left
in Hollywood, as in like California. Well, there are a lot of cowboys in California.
Well, to people from the East, there are cowboys and Indians still here today. Well, actually, if I were to give my real bio, I would probably describe my true self as blue collar gritty.
Okay. Blue collar gritty.
Blue collar
like
gritty. Because I grew up in a working class but chaotic family. Mm-hmm. We moved often, and I mean often.
When you said that, I thought of One Step Ahead of the Law.
maybe. Remember, I was little then, but they drank and I suffered, and so did my sister. When I left home at 17, I never looked back. Took me about 14 years to get my first college degree, working full-time and going to school. But then I met my husband. He had me at when he said,
"Hello,
I love to travel." Well, he almost had me at hello, but he's a short guy, blue eyes, and kind of an intellectual. I mean, way more of an intellectual than I am. And he said, "I really want to just travel the world. That's what I like to do. I write and travel the world." I mean,
what else could you ask for?
And our first date. The library. I was so hooked.
Oh boy. You're here for the library. There's still magic in the library.
Oh, there is. There totally is. Plus they have the digital library, but that's a different story. So, you know, in some families, one person will say, "Hey, you know, we ought to go somewhere. Let's move to New York, or let's try Mexico for a couple months." And the other person says, "What, are you nuts?" In our family, one person says, "Let's go to Mexico." And the other one says, "Okay, I'll get the suitcases."
Or they're already packed, and they're always ready, packed, and ready to go. Yeah. An adventure is our middle name.
So when we had our daughter, we said, for the years that she's in school, we got to settle down. So we settled down in Oregon for 26 years. That was good.
Where in Oregon?
In Corvallis, Oregon.
Corvallis, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the short and sweet is I worked an international banker in San Francisco and Los Angeles for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Interesting stories there. I was a corporate consultant in Philadelphia for 4 years.
Ooh.
And then I became what is closest to my heart, a writing teacher at the community college level for 26 years in Corvallis.
All right.
And I got to be a mentor and an agent for change. And just all that work was so much fun that when it came time to retire, I said, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do?" And that's when I seriously got the keyboard ready and started to write.
All right. Okay. Well, folks, this is the Spoken Open Poetry Program. I am Stephen Pitters, the host, with my special guest, Beth Camp, and we're talking about history and poetry and prose and everything else. But if you would like to be a guest, all you need to do is call 509-747-3807 and leave your name and number. Remember, we're in the stream at www.kyrs.org. One other thing, let me throw this in before I get back to Beth, is if you have a car, a truck, or a boat, and you would like to offload it or donate it, all you need to do is call 855-597-7227 to arrange a free pickup, and you get a tax receipt for that. So remember, give us a call at 855-597-7227 to arrange a easy pickup for your car, truck, or boat. Okay, back to Beth Camp on her wonderful stories. Okay. Now, you have a poem, another poem you're going to throw in at us?
Yes, I do. You know, poetry is different. When I'm writing historical fiction, I'm immersed in the history, and I'm just an intuitive kind of writer. I'm not logical at all. It kind of, you start and it takes you somewhere.
Yes, it always seems to do that. You may have an idea, but yes. Once you start fleshing it out, it just takes off and says, okay, catch me if you can.
Well, I found this neat quote by Beatrix Potter that I thought you'd like. There is something, she says, something delicious about writing the first words of a story. You never quite know where they'll take you.
Oh, it's true. That is true. You know, is that those first words, sometimes I find the first words don't always end up being the first words when you sit down to do the revision. It just kind of gets you going.
Yes.
And then you come back and says, okay, I don't need that. This is where I need this thing to begin.
Well, sometimes we draw inspiration mm-hmm. from those words or something we see, an image. And sometimes we need encouragement. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I love about being a writer today, because it's not only that groups like Spokane Authors here in Spokane, face-to-face small writing groups, mm-hmm. but there is such a wealth of resources online. Mm-hmm. For example, the three that have been really important to me are the Internet Writing Workshop, mm-hmm. A Round of Words in 80 Days, mm-hmm. The Insecure Writers Support Group.
Oh, gosh.
And these groups, you participate in different ways, you share your work, and you wind up being friends with uh-huh. your writing colleagues, and they may be in Australia or China or the Antilles. It could be anywhere, but you build friendships and connections, both with your readers and other writers. So it's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter how much we write, these challenges are what keep us going. And there are two challenges that are coming up in the next couple of months or plan for next year. Mm-hmm. One is NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, mm-hmm. and they're online. You can sign up for that and attempt to write 50,000 words in 1 month. And people do it every November, every year. There are hundreds of people doing this. So the spinoff for poetry is October Poetry Writing Month. There's a National Poetry Month is November, so it's OctPoWriMo.
OctPoWriMo?
October Poetry Writing Month. OctPoWriMo. So it's kind of hard for me to get through 31 days in October. So a lot of people use the alphabet. So I'm going to share with you just one poem called Butter.
Okay.
That's B for butter. Well, butter me up, babe. I've got a bee in my bonnet banging away. That stinging belief is always there that I can, you know, bleed words on a page.
Oh. Well, before we went on, before we came on, I should say, I was talking to you about where do you sit to write? Not, I mean, you know, in front of the keyboard, but like you mentioned, you write every day at a certain time in a certain place. Mm-hmm. Now, would the particular manuscripts and books that you've written, has it always follow that pattern, or did each one, I know I'm talking about myself here, because in the number of books that I've written, they've all been written at a different time of day and so forth. But does, you know, what is your, you know, technique, or is it simply this, that, you know, every morning at 5 to, you know, 8 or 9, and then you take a you know, take a break and then come back? What, how's your stuff? How are you doing?
That's a good question, and so I'm going to answer it this way. Who knows? It's like inviting someone to dinner. People talk about the muse, but it's like inviting your muse to come and tease out that creative spark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the words are not there. Mm-hmm. So some people say, if you have the discipline to sit down, make the table ready, mm-hmm. whether it's a notebook, which I do sometimes, mm-hmm. draw pictures, which I do sometimes, mm-hmm. or pound the keyboard, which I do a lot, mm-hmm. then all of these things conspire mm-hmm. to let the words out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's news. Sometimes it's politics, mm-hmm. sometimes it's arguments. I don't like to argue. Mm-hmm. But all of these things you find your creative energies by making a space, a time, and a place. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I have learned if I write first thing in the morning, then all else falls into place, and I can return later and do the revisions, or but I've got that first bit of words on the page.
Yeah, I find that you know, I'm an early, you know, whatever time it may be. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night or in the early morning hours because my mind is racing. And my energies are there then, and then that becomes the pattern, you know, and because I keep feeling the pull of the information, and I, you know, write my little old papers and my little all manner of little things, but just like you're saying, I put them out there, so that, you know, if I'm writing and I feel something, I can look and fill it in, like, oh, it's already there, you know, I can add that passage, those few lines and stuff like that.
Well, I'm lucky that I do have an office, and I got a cork board up there. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working a massive project, out come the 3x5 cards, and they get moved around, and I have pictures up there and stuff so I can see what's emerging. Okay. Oh, I hate to tell you this, but sometimes a character will be named something in part one and something else in part two.
Well, that's just like, that's why it's called revision process.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
We have about maybe 2.5 minutes left, so for more piece of information you'd like to share.
I have one more poem just to share, if that's all right.
That is all right.
And this is called, it's short, it's called Are Birds So Different?
Okay.
Are birds so different from you and me? They gather near the water, a singular community. They sleep nested on islands, awake to flock, sun their wings. They hunt with calm, steady pacing, those long, sharp beaks. Do they love when they mate one-on-one? When one dies, does the other soar alone?
When one dies, does the other soar alone? I like that. I'm going to borrow that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write down right here that particular line. When one soars, the other... What was the last line?
When one soars, when one dies, does the other soar alone? Now, being an older than average writer, I am not always thinking about life beginnings, but what is the appropriate ending? And one of the hardest things I think we face is letting go of the one we love.
True enough. Well, Beth, it's been a lot of fun just listening to your poetry as well as your prose. I mean, that's a screenplay, the one that you first shared with us. I mean, I was like, I've seen this, but this one has so many little nice little quirks and, you know, nuances that, like, woo!
Thank you.
Well, folks, for Beth Camp, I'm Stephen Pitters, your host for the Spokane Open Poetry Program here at KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And we'll see you again real soon. Beth, thanks for being here.
Thank you.